Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it?
Welcome, welcome to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And today's date is June 6, 2018, and we're broadcasting live from your nation's capital on the Airways Blog Talk Radio. And those who join us on a regular basis, you know the slogan for our show is, if it's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative captures that power for your financial benefit. And this show is sponsored weekly by the following: Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, which is a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American-owned solar installation companies to address the economic effects of high energy costs for our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize Black American-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity for solar installation initiatives to bring down the under and unemployment rate of our young African-American millennials and Z population men and women. Also, to educate the Black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the Black community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. The show is also brought to you by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSHBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, and you can get more information on that initiative by logging on to our website at positivechange.com. That's positivechangepc.com. You can also, this show is also sponsored by Scotton Communications Network, specializing in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production, online and traditional, newspaper production, online and traditional, speech writing, book writing, editing and publishing, and speaker bureau management. And for further information, you can contact Dr. Gwendolyn Scotton Bethay at ScottonCommunicationsNetwork.com. Once again, that contact person is Dr. Gwendolyn Scotton Bethay at ScottonCommunicationsNetwork.com. And as you know, call-in number for our listening audience is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. And please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number, because you'll be in our green room and we want to bring you on to the airways of this platform of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know I'm your host, Ronald Bethea, and we bring this show to you every week. Now, we have a very, very exciting show for you today, but the topic of our show is the first segment. We'll be discussing the Blue State Invest in Solar Power to Reduce the Carbon Footprint. I had the privilege of speaking with the public relations person at Bowie State University yesterday, Mrs. Demita Chambers, and she was busy trying to run down someone to be a guest for our show today, but as I explained to her, I clearly understand that school just let out, and at on our HBCU campuses, as well as all the other campuses around the nation, we have an issue with the campuses being basically vacant at this time because the universities just closed down. But Bowie State University has installed a large-scale solar panel system on the campus, expanding the university's sustainability efforts and green education for the campus community. The project is supported by a $150,000 grant from the Maryland Energy Administration. Solar panels through a partnership with the Washington Gas and Light Energy, WGL Energy, the university has installed a 1.6 megawatt solar powered system throughout the campus, including a solar canopy in the parking lot D, the roof of the Thurgood Marshall Library, and the Lois S. James Physical Education Complex, and an open site near the Bulldog Football Stadium. The state grant will support the solar canopy installation. This system is estimated to generate 2 million kilowatt hours each year, which is about 10% of Bowie State's energy needs on the campus per year. The work to install the panels started in October of 2017, and I'm pleased to report to you, in speaking with Mrs. Chambers on yesterday, that the system is completely 100% installed and completed. And they just did a ribbon cutting at Bowie State University, which gives Bowie State the largest solar installation farm and facility on a Black college campus in the United States of America, because we only have 3 HBCUs that have solar farms, and 2 of them are located, of course, in the state of Maryland. You have the University of Maryland Eastern Shore. They installed a 17-acre farm, which Dr. Thompson was the provost at that time at UMS, and I understand that she was also a consultant working on this project at Bowie State. She hails from the Virgin Islands, and she also played a significant role with the U.S. Virgin Islands building a solar farm, which was damaged by the recent storm that hit the Caribbean and the Virgin Islands. Alternative energy is important to Bowie State University because the project like this reduces their carbon footprint. It's the right thing to do as a responsible citizen and community, said Michelle Harris, Bowie State University's capital project manager. It can also be an additional tool for the students, which means that they now are able to offer a curriculum design which will be able, Bowie State University will be able to offer courses in solar maintenance. Also, I think they will be able to look at some research and development as it relates to this solar installation farm. So I think that we've got to take our hat off to the former provost at Bowie State University and the new president of Bowie State and give them their kudos for having the vision on moving forward with this project. And the reason why it's very, very important for those who follow this show, you know that if you click on our website and look at our executive summary and project rationale for our business model for the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, one of the things is we have been working and beating the drum around is to create capacity for the utilization of renewable energy for black-owned farmlands, institutions, hospitals, municipalities, and universities by training our young people locally and nationally in the diaspora and visiting student athletes to target all 106 of our historically black colleges, which are referred to as HBCUs, become members of the North American Board of Certified Electric Practitioners to participate in their continuing education certification training program to provide through a continuing education workforce development program and in conjunction with Capelin University of El Paso, Texas, online training in their local market areas for the interested candidates. And once again, to encourage HBCUs with workforce development programs to develop workforce development programs in conjunction with local solar companies in their marketplaces to help them develop apprenticeship programs for individuals successfully completing the NABCP continuing education workforce development training program. Also, to encourage the HBCUs with small business development centers, which Bowie State University happens to have one, to identify students majoring in business administration at our HBCUs to assist local solar companies in writing proposals targeting local and federal grants to develop training programs, reducing the time and resources and need for smaller solar companies in their marketplace to complete the application process for grants, and which would provide also those students with all-hands proposal writing skills. Also, to encourage our HBCU schools or businesses in engineering to develop better working relationships with local solar companies in their area to develop advertising programs to target the African-American communities to get the word out on programs such as the Transitioning Neighborhood Initiative program in Prince George's Solar for All program in the D.C., Washington, D.C., here in our nation's capital. So you can get more because there are a long list of points that we have laid out under our About Us section on our website at, once again, at positivechangepc.com. Once again, you can Click on that link, and you'll be able to get that information. Now, as we drill down and discuss this issue, I reached out to the WGL, Washington Gas and Light Energy, to have someone from their company to come on to talk about this solar initiative at Bowie State. But first, WGL Energy is a leader in efficient and environmentally friendly energy technology solutions to residential, government, and commercial and industrial customers. The full spectrum of energy solutions, they deliver a full spectrum of energy solutions, including electricity, gas, renewable energy, carbon reduction, distributed generation, and efficiency provided by WGL Services, Inc. and WGL Energy Services, Incorporated. The energy that is surprisingly easy, whether you are a family, a four, a large government agency, or a Fortune 1000 company, WGL makes it easier to choose your energy selections that's right for you. Now, what I wanted to know from WGL, did they partner with a Biff Energy, a Bolt Energy, a Mark Davis's company of Washington, D.C.? Are any African-American solar installation companies on the actual building of this solar farm at Bowie State University? And because we weren't able to get anyone from WGL or Bowie State to be on our show today to discuss this, we don't have the answer to that question, to be succinct and pointed. But I thought that it was very, very important for us to drill down and look at this issue, especially when we began to look at the impact that this solar farm could have in creating more capacity in the District of Columbia if Bowie State chose to sell some of its extracts to Pepco. Because one thing that is very, very important in this discussion, as you know, we have continuously talked about the Renewable Portfolio Standards Act of 2016 that was passed here in Washington, D.C. And in looking at that, in July 6th of 2016, Mayor Bowser signed the initial Renewable Portfolio Standard Expansion Act of 2016. Under the act, D.C. must procure 50% of its electricity from renewable energy sources by 2032, and the solar requirement is now 5%. If the utility companies cannot meet that standard, a company must pay a penalty of $500 per megawatt hour, who is assessed and passed on to the customer base via an alternative compliance fee. This penalty is commonly called a solar renewable energy credit, extracts. DC customers paid over $15 million extra for the shortfall of DC-based solar facilities in 2016. Now, that is very, very, very important when we look at the fact that in April of this year, the state of Maryland, Indianapolis, voted down the Renewable Portfolio Standard Act of 2018 to increase their renewable portfolio standards to 50% by year 2030. This along with the massive buildup of 100,000 acres of solar panels on the eastern shore, which came about after the Dr. Thompson, who in fact was the provost at UMES, built a 17-acre solar farm at the University of Maryland Eastern Shore. Those white farmers were studying that model. They also looked at the fact that NASA, and how does NASA play in? NASA curtailed a lot of its launches, and especially private launches of satellites in Cape Canaveral in Florida, and it was moved to the eastern shore of Maryland, to Aikiki Island. Now, those farmers are now selling that energy to NASA for launches of space travel vehicles. The issue comes into play when you look at the amount of wind extracts, which is located on the eastern shore, and this massive buildup of solar, large-scale solar farms in Maryland has created a large, large amount of facility in the state of Maryland, which have driven the extracts down to $5. And if you live in the state of Maryland and you install a solar system, which is referred to as a PV system, on one's home, you is only worth $5 for that additional energy that your family does not use, that goes back through to the grid by way of the smart meter or net meter reading that energy and telling the local utility provider, which is Pepco, how much energy that your home did in fact use, and that excess energy turns that meter back and it's credited. But you only receive the value of $5 for that kilowatt hour if you cross the line in the district, because there is such a lack of facility, they're trading for close to a little close to $400. That is a significant, significant difference. And I had the privilege of being at Pepco at a meeting 2 weeks ago. Now, time really flies. And in that meeting, Mrs. Donna Small, the director of smart grid technology for Pepco, during a break, shared with me that they've already run the numbers. You don't have enough space in the District of Columbia to ever rebate this compliance fee, because you don't have enough space to put enough solar, large-scale solar farms or initiatives. So the extract values of in Washington, D.C. are some of the highest in the country. But it is causing a tremendous spike in your local utility bills, because if you have an electric, water, a gas bill in District of Columbia, you are paying for renewable portfolio standards. That is the fact of life. So this is how the rubber meets the road on this show, that we try to make it plain for our listening audience here on the airways of Solar Now and the future with its economic impact on Black America. And I hope that we have explained this information in a very, very clairvoyant manner. And we are looking to have some representatives from Bowie State on in the very, very near future, as well as we put a request with WGL Energy for a representative to come on and talk about the specifics of this new solar farm initiative that's been built on Bowie State University's campus, and maybe we can put some actual dollar amounts in terms of the actual cash savings of what 10% represents, because I don't know what that is. And that is one of the reasons why we wanted to get someone from Bowie State to be a guest on this show to talk about this great initiative that Bowie State has undertaken, and as we're happy to announce that it is up and running. They just did a ribbon cutting right before the close of school, so you can go out and you'll be able to basically see what they've done at Bowie State University. I think that without a doubt it's the only school in the CIAA member institution that has such a initiative launched. And as I said, out of 104 HBCUs, we only have 3 with a solar farms on their physical campuses. In the only 2 in the continental U.S., along with the University of Virgin Islands. And I think that's very, very, very significant, because we have to look at the fact that the investment tax credits that President Barack Hussein Obama put in position, unless Congress extends them, they begin to depreciate at the end of 2019. If you are thinking about putting a PV system on your home, you want to get real serious and real busy moving on that thought pattern, because first you need to have your roof checked, you need to make the necessary repairs and have it inspected. Now, there are several programs, as we speak, they have a program in George's County which uses a 60% area median income, and it's called the Transition in Neighborhood Initiative. And if you meet those income guidelines, you can apply for that particular program. And I think that if you're a Prince George's resident, you want to consider that ASAP, because one thing is going on for sure. I've sat in a number of meetings with solar developers and solar installation company owners, and they are scrambling madly to line up as much work as they possibly can, because companies are project their growth not in the calendar year, they're the end 2-3 years ahead of time, because that's the only way that you can really grow a company. And these companies are trying to get the contract signed with the I's dotted and T's crossed, because come December 31st, 2019, the federal tax credit drops from 30% to 26%, and at the end of 2019, it dropped. At the beginning of the end of 2020, it drops from 26% to 22%, and in 2021, unless Congress extends these federal tax credits for them, then this is nationally, it will expire. Also, we have a $7,500 federal tax credit if one is interested in purchasing a new electric vehicle. So our community, for those who listen to this platform, I'm pretty sure we've just provided you some news that you can definitely use. And if you're in the District of Columbia, they have the Solar for All program. And I have been beating the drum about that specific program. And if you meet the area median income for that specific program, you will be able to qualify. Now, the program, as I indicated in Prince George's County, is called the TNI program. And I think this being an election year, that Prince George's County residents need to be asking some serious, serious questions as to why is it that if I don't live in a specific zip code in Prince George's County, I cannot apply for the program. If you don't live in the zip code beginning with 207, that starts at 20737, same three leading numbers, 81, 10, 43, 47, 48, 85, 83, 45, 57, 46, 52, 43, 47, 37, 84, and 06, with the first three digits being 207. Well, I happen to live in area code 209. Now, the area codes 2037, 2081, 2010 will take in the communities of Bladensburg and East Riverdale. Zip codes 20742, 20747 will take in the communities of Forestville. 2048 will take in the community of Hillcrest Heights, Marlow Heights. 20785 will take in the communities of Kentland, Palmer Park. 20783 will take in the communities of Langley Park. 20745 will take in the communities of Oxon Hill, Glass Manor. 20757, 20746 will take in the communities of Silver Hill. 20752, 43, and 47 will take in the communities of Suitland and Coral Hills. The 20737, 20787, and 20706 zip codes will take in the communities of Woodlawn and Lanham. Now, you must be in the Pepco service territory as evidenced by a copy of your recent electric bill, live in a single family resident in one of the TNI designated neighborhoods or corresponding zip codes, or have or will apply to be able to be applicable for the Empower Maryland incentive program. Pepco's Residential Energy Efficient Incentives Power Maryland Low Income Energy Efficiency Program. I have a problem with that. I have gone to Annapolis. I have spoken with my representative, Carlos Sanchez. I have also, who is the delegate, and I have also, he's the Democratic delegate for my area, and I've spoken with Mrs. Dina Travis, council member for zip code 20912. And I have actually physically traveled to Annapolis on lobby night in Maryland. And we had a discussion about these issues. Now, I have a guest at the top of the hour who has joined us. Hello, Mrs. Mathis.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. And I'm quite sure you can hear the conversation that I'm having here with our here on the airways of Solar Now and the Future with our economic impact on Black America. I was just basically laying out some information on the Transition in Neighborhood Initiative, because I'm quite sure most of our residents are unaware of this, but Mrs. Gina I want to make sure I have this pronunciation correct. Would you please pronounce that last name again for me, your last name for me?
Absolutely. It's Gina Mathias.
Ms. Gina Mathias, who is the sustainability manager for the city of Tacoma Park. And they have a very exciting sustainability energy challenge that they've launched for the residents of the city of Tacoma Park. And this is very, very interesting because I had the privilege of speaking with her about this. Now, the new sustainability challenge is here. The summer, for the summer for everyone, is being challenged to switch to 100% renewable energy for apartment houses and businesses, and all of the opportunities to choose 100% renewable electricity at a special rate. Now, since I've been blessed with her presence, could you please take that, if I could call you by your first name for the purposes of this interview, Gina, would you please
absolutely
give us a little information about this exciting program that you are providing for the residents of the city of Tacoma Park, and what brought this initiative forward?
Well, the initiative was brought forward by residents and members of the city's Committee on the Environment, and they asked us, the staff, myself, to find an easier way for people to buy renewable energy. In Maryland, you can buy renewable energy, but you have to go through the Public Service Commission's list of approved suppliers, which is very long. There are various kinds of contracts available, which might have a variable rate, which can get very expensive without notice. They might have cancellation fees if you decide to stop buying renewable energy or you move. And so we wanted to find a way to make it easier for people to choose a supplier and know exactly what they're getting. And we can do all that. We did all that research for the residents and businesses of Tacoma Park. And what we did was issue a RFP. We sent out a notice to the regional suppliers and asked them to provide us with all of the information I just talked about. And that includes the contracts that have no cancellation fees, fair pricing, a guaranteed price so people's bills won't go up without notice. And we wanted to find a company that had ethical business practices as well, which we were able to find. Process, we chose to work with Clean Choice Energy.
Well, I see that you wrote an outstanding article that just appeared in the Tacoma Park news letter, which I'm privileged to be a resident of Tacoma Park, but I don't live in the city of Tacoma Park. And as we had this discussion about and I know you heard me breaking down the communities that are in zip code 207, that long list of communities where our Maryland residents here in the state of Maryland and Prince George's County can, in fact, apply for this transition in neighborhood initiative, and if they meet the 60% area median income for Prince George's County, they in fact can apply for this program. So, have your organization, being that you are the sustainability manager, how did the city of Tacoma Park get? Why were y'all left out of the loop? I don't understand that. That makes no sense to me. Because when you begin to look at the baby boomer population and you begin to look at the number of Prince George's County residents, and specifically the people who live in the city of Tacoma Park who have purchased homes, a lot of your communities of color, specifically the African-American community, they purchased these homes 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago when real estate was much cheaper, but they were working then, and their incomes were not as high as it is today, but these people now, can we say seniors and fixed income? So,
yeah, so this is an important topic, and Tacoma Park, since we, the city boundaries are in Montgomery County, not Prince George's County, that's why people who reside in the city of Tacoma Park can't apply for the TNI program because we're in Montgomery County. But I will say that the city of Tacoma Park has been working hard to provide energy efficiency programs for homeowners that meet 80% AMI, and we have grants from the state to help those homeowners make their homes more energy efficient, and it's no cost to the homeowner.
Well,
it's a little bit different than the TNI program, but something that the city is trying to do.
Okay, so we're talking Montgomery County versus Prince George's County. Now, the reason why
exactly
I brought that issue up, because you made that point very, very clear to me the other day when we were talking, and we got to looking at the boundary lines, and most people don't realize that New Hampshire Avenue separates Prince George's County from PG County. If you're on the, I think that's going to be the north side of New Hampshire Avenue. If you're going out of Washington, D.C., and you're traveling out of the city, the left-hand side is going to be Montgomery County. The right-hand side is going to be PG County. Coming back in, you know, it would be just the opposite, depending on the direction that you travel. And as you elegantly explained to me, you know, when you get to talking about zip codes and you get to talking about the post office, that's totally, that has nothing to do with the price of tea in China, because it can be called Tacoma Park and you be in PG County and you won't be in the city of Tacoma Park, which is in Montgomery County. So you won't be able to qualify if you live on that side of New Hampshire Avenue. And I think it's very, very important for people to understand that. One of the other things that questions that I wanted to sort of bring to your attention is, in the District of Columbia, because of the feeder lines that come from the district into Maryland, and specifically Tacoma Park area, in the city of Tacoma Park, those residents who live in the city of Tacoma Park, if they are near those feeder, where those maps, because I actually have the mapping, her name is Mrs. Erickman, I'm pretty sure. She sent me a map and showed me where the feeder lines from D.C. come into Maryland. If you are a Maryland resident, and I would think this would be applicable to Montgomery County as well as PG County residents, and your home or your place of business sets where those is located geographically, where those feeder lines run, you can use the Estrix values, which are the renewable energy certificate values of the District of Columbia versus that of Maryland. And say if one puts a PV system on your home, and being that they have such lack of space in D.C. for a facility, you're able to actually trade your that additional energy that you, that PV, if you have a solar system installed on top of your house, for the value of in the DC for the those Estrix values, and they're trading for at approximately close to $400 per kilowatt hour versus $5 for the in Maryland. And if you could sort of talk about that a little, and does that impact the citizens of Tacoma Park?
It does. It makes a big difference when you are looking at what it costs to put solar on your roof and how that's going to affect your monthly bills, because those SREC prices can make the difference between something that has a 5 to 10 year payback versus a 15 to 20 year payback, and what difference that's going to make to a homeowner in their monthly bills, and the value of the solar system on a whole. So this SREC map is it is a huge benefit, and I have a link to a map online I'm happy to share with any of your listeners, and they should be talking to their SREC brokers to make sure they're getting a price. And if they already have solar and they're not getting the DC price, they should talk to their brokers and see if they live inside this area, they should make a change.
Well, would you please share with our listening audience what communities in the city of Tacoma Park would be applicable to use those DC SREC values?
Yeah, so it is in Tacoma Park. It's going to be south of Ethan Allen Avenue, and parts of Ethan Allen Avenue are included, down all the way to Eastern on the line of the district, and New Hampshire Avenue up to Belford Place. And then on the Prince George's side, it includes parts of Hampshire Knolls, so up around Ray, south of Ray Road and south of Chilham Road, all through there. Those electric lines feed into the DC line. So those residents are eligible for the DC SREC market.
Well, I want our listening audience to understand that Washington, D.C., because in July 2016, Mayor Bowser signed the initial Renewable Portfolio Standards Expansion Act of 2016. Under the act, D.C. must procure 50% of the electricity for renewable energy by the year 2032. And the solar requirement is 5%. If utility requirements companies cannot meet these standards, a penalty of $500 per megawatt hour is assessed and passed on to the consumer base via the alternative compliance fee. The penalty is commonly called the Solar Renewable Energy Credit, or SREC. DC customers paid over $15 million extra for the shortfall of DC-based solar facilities in 2016. So for those residents who live in the city of Tacoma Park and live in Prince George's County, under the feeder map, which Gina kindly shared with our listening audience, you are sitting on a gold mine, because in front of the D.C. City Council, they have a new bill, the Renewable Portfolio Standards Expansion Act of 2018. And I'm pretty sure that this thing is going to pass by August, and it will increase the renewable portfolio standards from 50% to 100% by year 2050, and the requirement for solar in that bill is 17%. Now, I had the privilege of being at a meeting which was held at PEPCO's offices in downtown Washington, D.C., here in our nation's capital, 2 weeks ago. And it was on the rollout of the electric vehicle charging infrastructure station. They're proposing to spend approximately $16 million to put charging infrastructures, charging stations in the District of Columbia. But when we got a break, I had the privilege of speaking with, Mrs. Donna Small, who is the director of Smart Grid Technology for Pepco, and she said, Mr. Bethay, let me make it very, very succinct and plain. We have already run the numbers. There is not enough space in the District of Columbia for us to be able to ever meet the alternative compliance fees. And we will continue in the future to pass these on. And I have the chairwoman of the D.C. Public Service Commission on these airways 3 weeks ago, Director Betty Ann Kane, and it almost knocked me out the chair. I'm sitting in right now doing this interview. She said to me, in fiscal 2000 for the year 2016, as we indicated, D.C. residents paid an extra $10 million. But in 2017, they paid it jumped to $30 million. It doubled. And if this renewable portfolio standard bill in 218 passes, well, those residents who live in the city of Tacoma Park who are thinking about installing a PV system on their home, they are sitting on a potential gold mine. Because this thing is going to be because of the lack of facility in the district, it's going to double. And see, the consumer base in the District of Columbia, if they have a water, gas, or electric bill, you're already paying for these renewable portfolio standards. So I'd like for you to talk about the Maryland renewable portfolio standards right now. I don't know what in the current bill that is the law for the state of Maryland, what that is for solar, because you have a portfolio. You have biomass, wind turbine, hydrogenetics, and biomass. And for solar, I don't know what it is, but I do know conversation I had with Mrs. Betty Ann Kane. All of the other energy must be generated, can be generated outside the confines of the district. But for solar, it must come from the inside the confines of the District of Columbia. But because there is a working relationship on this extract situation with Maryland, and the District of Columbia, and I think Pennsylvania, and there's several other states where those extracts can be traded in the district. I think it behooves those who live in the city of Tacoma Park to look at installing PV systems and getting involved with this neighborhood energy challenge. So I see that you indicated that shopping the various suppliers and navigating confusing contract terms, misleading advertising, high rates, and unclear sources of power has led only to a small percentage of about 5.8% of the businesses and households in the city actually choosing clean power. So, Gina, could you sort of elaborate on some of the issues, on some of the complaints that y'all are getting? Because I know that the solar installation companies and some of the larger solar companies have been called on the carpet by the state attorney general in some states about some of their sales practices. Yeah, has that become a problem in the city of Tacoma Park?
It hasn't been. I think what we're trying to do with our campaign is help people understand that when they're buying clean power, they're buying a renewable energy certificate. They're buying RECs. So you don't know, we can't guarantee that the actual electrons that make up electricity flowing into your house are coming from a wind turbine or a solar panel. But we can say that if you use 900 kilowatt hours of electricity, then we're going to guarantee that 900 kilowatt hours of solar and wind power are fed back into the grid to account for your electricity use. And a lot of the misinformation around the renewable energy suppliers was people not understanding how electricity works and not understanding that the electricity coming into your home through the lines is going to be a mix of all of the different sources that are in your grid. So in Maryland, we have solar, wind, incinerator, geothermal. There's all sorts of electricity that can be fed into the grid in Maryland. The RPS standard, I know you'd asked, and solar, for solar in Maryland, it, by 2020, it's just 2.5%.
And this is why I started this platform. A recent renewable portfolio standard bill for 2018 was defeated in Annapolis because we weren't able to get enough of our consumer base educated around the energy, the issue of renewable energy and how it creates jobs and how it's it impacts on the environment. It's a very, very difficult issue because one of the things that Mr. Tracy Woods, who is the operational manager for the American Association of Blacks of Energy, he shared with me, he said, Ron, one of the biggest problems we got in this country, people take energy for granted because it's so plentiful, and they just pay their bill, but they never try to explain it. But with renewable portfolio standards also comes who's going to pay for it. And the utility companies are not going to pay for it. That is passed back on to your consumer base. But I did not know that the actual mandate in Maryland was only 2.5%. I mean, that is almost
for
nothing.
Solar.
For
yeah,
solar. That's
total
what I'm saying.
Yeah, the total renewable RPS is 25% by 2020.
Yeah, I'm looking at those figures, that information, and and I'm going to commend you on this excellent article, and I'm going to recommend to our listening audience that they get a copy of the June 2018 Tacoma Park newsletter and read this very well written article that you put on this, because it caught my attention and that I was able to reach out to you, and you were kind enough on a very short notice to come on the airways of this platform to talk to our listening audience about these issues. And I think it's very, very, very important that we educate our listening audience on how to read first their utility bill, because if you get your utility bill, when you begin to start looking at the fees, I almost think that we need to start running some information sessions in the evening at some of the rec centers or something, just to be able, for people don't really know how to even know what they're paying for.
Yeah, they're confusing. There's too many line items with too many different charges on them. And on one hand, if you know what you're looking at, then you understand what all those line items are and there's transparency. But for most people who don't work in this industry, it's really confusing what you're looking at when you get your utility bill and why are there so many different kinds of charges on there. And they do. They just pass it all on to the consumer. And I think a lot of people don't even know that they can choose to buy 100% Maryland-generated wind and solar. They don't have to buy electricity from the standard offering. They don't have to support dirty coal and other electricity sources.
Well, Gina, that's why I wanted you to be on this show, because I know that there has been a massive buildup of wind turbine and large-scale solar farms on the eastern shore in the state of Maryland. And I was happy to learn that Bowie State has just built the largest solar farm on a historically black college in the nation. We have 104 HBCUs, but we only have three solar farms on those campuses, and Bowie State is the largest now in the nation. They just completed that particular farm, was constructed in partnership with WGL Energy, and I reached out for their public relations director, but of course school is closed and it's very, very difficult to run someone down. But that will provide 10% of the energy, according to the article that I have posted, and people can get this information by logging on to our website at positivechangepc.com. Bowie State invests in solar power to reduce the carbon footprint, but it talked about that this farm will generate enough energy to generate 2 million kilowatt hours each year, which is 10% of the campus needs. And I think that's going to be very significant when you begin to talk about, after the staffing of any college or university, whether it be whatever ethnicity, white, black, Native American, after the staffing of the university, the largest fixed cost on it for any college or university is energy. And by them putting this solar farm there at Bowie State, I think it will also help with keeping the tuition down. So these are things that we need to begin to educate our communities about, but very much so the African-American community about this. And is there anything else? Because I know I didn't only had you for 30 minutes, and, man, 30 minutes goes fast. Is there anything else you would like to share with our listening audience? Because I don't know how long I can keep you. That's why I want to make sure I want to get any pertinent information out that you would like to provide to our listening audience, and specifically those who are citizens of Tacoma Park.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yes, I do have another meeting to get to. So I would like to invite anyone listening, if they're interested in hearing more about Tacoma Park's energy campaign or our other sustainability efforts, you can email me directly at Gina M, and that's G-I-N-A-M, at TacomaParkMD.gov.
Well, Gina, thank you very much for taking time from your busy schedule to be a guest on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you won't be a stranger to this platform. And once again, we created this platform to try to disseminate information to our communities locally and nationally. And you have provided some very, very valuable information for the Rose residents who reside in Tacoma Park. And I want to thank you for taking time from your busy schedule for doing that.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure. I hope you have a good afternoon.
Well, the pleasure's been all mine, Gina, and you have a very blessed day.
Thanks.
And that was the Sustainable Energy Manager for the City of Tacoma Park. And as we were talking about the lack of facility in the District of Columbia and how it is impacting on the high level, these high renewable portfolio standards in the District of Columbia. And as I basically talked about the Transition in Neighborhood Initiative program earlier in the show, and as we look up, we are at the top of the hour, and we're going to try to take a pause for the cause, and we'll be right back, and we're going to be able to sort of switch gears here.
Life is a song worth singing. I don't sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you
the key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it.
Welcome, welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethay. And for the next 24 minutes, it will be just you and our call-in guests. And anyone who would like to join us on this platform, please feel free to call us at 646-668-2948. That call-in number is 646-668-2948. And before we move any further, we want to take a little pause for the calls to let our listening audience to know that this show is sponsored every week by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, which is a blueprint for self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar installation companies. To address the high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, and to utilize Black-owned, American-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity for solar installation initiatives to bring down the unemployed and underemployment rate of our young African-American, Z, and millennial population, as well as educating the Black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the Black community through Black Talk radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. It's also brought to you by the Black Sports Legends Foundation. That's the Black Sports Legends Foundation, and you can go to that website at the Black Sports Legends Foundation.org. You will find that the information is quite dated, but we've been working very, very hard trying to raise funding so we can do an update of our website there on the Black Sports Legends Foundation, because yours truly is also the founder and CEO of the Black Sports Legends Foundation, and we worked very, very hard putting that organization together, and we intend to keep it viable. But everybody knows talk is cheap, so it is what it is, and it takes financing to get it done. This show is also brought to you by Scott and Communications Network, specializing in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production, online and traditional, newspaper production, online and traditional, speech writing, book writing, editing and publishing, speaker bureau management. And that contact information is Dr. Gwendolyn Scott and Bethay at scottandcommunicationsnetwork.com. Now, we have an opportunity, and we're going to sort of shift gears a little bit, and we're going to talk about people joining us. And as I indicated, you can do that by calling 646-668-2948 and sharing your views on the information that you've heard today, or if you are able to log on to our website and click on our news and events tab, you will find that there are a number of things going on. Three states will spend $1.3 billion to build more electric vehicles infrastructure charging stations. California, New York, and New Jersey. New efforts could boost EVs beyond a niche status. Some experts are talking about this. And this is an article done by Sean O'Kane, and it talks about the state of California, New York, New Jersey. New efforts would move this forward. Three states announced major investments in charging infrastructure for electric cars on Thursday, which was June 1st. In a total, California, New York, and New Jersey will put $1.3 billion on the table in the coming years to help chip away at one of the biggest barriers standing in the way for widespread EV adoption. California's Public Service Commission approved a $738 million worth of projects over the next 5 years. The agency announced the Southern California Edison and Pacific Gas and Electric PG&E spend up to $343 million and $236 million respectively to build charging infrastructure that will support thousands of medium and heavy duty vehicles around 1,500 locations throughout the state. PG&E will spend another $22 million building 234 DC fast charging stations at around 50 of the sites throughout the state. The U.S. Department of Energy says that more than 80% of the EV charging currently happens at homes. So some of the focus on California investment will be on helping support home charging as well. San Diego Gas and Electric will spend $137 million on its residential charging program, allowing utilities to offer rebates up to 60,000 customers who want to install a level two charger in their homes. Hundreds of millions of dollars to build charging stations along major corridors, plus breaks for people charging at home. New York, the governor's office announced that it will spend up to $250 million through year 2025 for its electric vehicle expansion initiative. The EV Volvo New York Power Authority will work with its private sector to install 200 DC fast charging stations along with key infrastructure coordinates with the goal of making them available every 30 miles, and it will also bring them to urban areas as well, include New York City, two major airports. Meanwhile, New Jersey's Budget Utility Power Service Enterprise Group, PSEG, announced it will pledge $300 million to build up to 50,000 charging stations on highways and residential areas and workplaces. All three investments are some of the biggest the states have committed to regarding building EV charging infrastructure, but while they might not directly affect the 47 states, the reasons to believe the news could help influence spread EVs around the country, according to Carl Bruner, executive publisher of Auto Trade and the Kelley Blue Book. We're going to see a series of all new electric vehicles hit the showrooms over the next 2 years. These new models will offer greater range than we've seen in the past, but getting electric vehicles past 1% of the market share will still prove charging because range anxiety remains a concern with most consumers. Now, these are things that are going to happen. Not if they're going to happen, they are going to happen. And as I indicated, yours truly, Ronald Bethay, the founder of this and host of this show, Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America, I went to the electric transportation program for the District of Columbia, which is our nation's capital. They had a workshop on May 22nd, and they're talking about spending $15,419,650 for charging station infrastructure in our nation's capital. That is a substantial amount of money when you look at the fact that you already have 50% renewable portfolio standards, and they're pushing new legislation, and that legislation is being pushed very, very hard by advocacy groups. And those who don't know need to know, because it's your dough anyway. You got a gas bill, electric bill, or water bill, you are paying for renewable portfolio standards. But Mrs. Dana Small, the director of the Smart Grid and Technology for Pepco Holdings, who was the narrator, I wouldn't say narrator, but she was the one who was in charge of the meeting that was held at Pepco, getting input from the various stakeholders who are interested in the EV charging infrastructure issue in the District of Columbia that attended that meeting, said to me, well, these expenditures will be passed on to our customer base. So here we go again. Pepco is not going to pay for this. If you are a DC rate payer of utilities in the District of Columbia, you will pay for this whether you purchase an electric vehicle or not. Whether you walk, ride, or bicycle, it doesn't matter. You will end up paying for this if you are a renter, even if you don't even own a home. If you're a landlord, your church need to be talking about these issues, about these high water bills in the district. All of these bills are being pushed upward because of renewable portfolio standard legislation inside the District of Columbia, known as Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. Now, there will be an opportunity for you to talk to your public service commissioners on June 16th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Farmers Market at 4th and M Street, Southwest Washington, D.C., about these issues that we're discussing here on the airways of this platform. It is imperative that you get engaged around these topics. It doesn't make any difference whether you are the landlord, the homeowner, or just the renter. You are paying for it anyway, as we make it plain. So I'm going to be reaching out for Trayvon, who is the representative for Ward 8 on the city council. And I'm going to try to see if I can get him on this show and to talk about this issue. And we're going to reach out for Vincent Gray, who's the councilwoman for Ward 7, to see if I can get him on this show to talk about this, because a lot of this stuff got launched under then-Mayor Vincent Gray's administration. Okay? This stuff is not new coming to you. But believe me, the train has definitely left the station and has left the shore. And we're going to get with it, or we're going to sink, swim, or drown. Because as we all know, this is a capitalistic society that we live in is called a matrix. And as Dr. Claude Anderson talks about it in Black Labor, White Wealth, and his book Powernomics, we might as well get involved by educating ourselves on things that affect us in our pockets every day. Every time you turn around, your gas, water, and electric bill is going up. And the reason why it's going up, because of the renewables portfolio standards. And even though this bill was defeated in Maryland, it will be back. Make no mistake about that. Because those stakeholders who are vested in this industry, solar installation companies, they're going to make sure, and advocacy groups, they're going to make sure that these issues are dealt with. And you can't really blame those individuals who like to live near the seashore in the wealthy homes, because climate change is real. And as I indicated, if we could say, Katrina, hey, we know what time it is. Now, you go to our news and events tab, you will find I have discussed the first two articles that you will see. Ties of Permanente Studies provides evidence of health risk linked to electromagnetic field exposure. And I had Dr. Rose Adali, Dr. A, that we kindly refer to her on this show a month or so ago, and she talked about this electromagnetic field and her company and what they have come up with that can come in. They can install her system in your home, and they can come in with the technology, and they can give you a reading to tell you how much exposure of electromagnetic field exposure that you have in one's home. And you can also find that information on our website at positivechangepc.com. Pittsburgh set goal for 50% renewable reduction in revised climate change plan. So the city of Pittsburgh, they recognize what's going on, because most of our cities on the East Coast set on the water. Can we say Norfolk State, Hampton, Virginia? And they have some serious problems with erosion there and the high rises of the sea level because of the melting polar caps. There's a 112% growth in 2017 mean community solar has finally solved its complexity problems. You'll find that article in our news and events tab. Washington, D.C. City Council is considering a new bill, 100% Renewable Portfolio Standards Amendment Act of 2018. I think I've said enough about that already on the show. Cybersecurity and the distributed grid, a double-edged sword. I think you'll find that very interesting. Ohio state lawmakers fine-tune renewable energy mandates. Wind power pause for record year despite initial tax law concerns. California utility solar developers advocate dialogue on new solar mandate. The state is distributing solar updates by 2017. Now, this is a very, very interesting article that was done by Marie Donahue, and the update introduction for renewable sources to expand in the U.S. Thanks to no energy production from renewable continues to expand in the U.S. rapid clips, thanks to no small part of sustainable growth of solar energy by distributed solar, and particularly in recent years, more states than ever are making solar a priority. But there are gains been the greatest. And what are the economic implications for residents from one state to the next? And they talk about the different state policies, and it goes down and it breaks down the Gulf Coast, southern states, and it gives you a clear indication on what type of legislation that has been passed nationwide. So we put this research, and we put this information in our database to bring this information to you on a weekly basis. So we think, we know that if you go to our website and you click on our news and events tab and you begin to follow us on this platform, Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America, you will find that this show deserves and needs to be put on another platform, just not on Blog Talk Radio, which we stream over the airways of Facebook, Twitter, Link, on your Android and smartphone devices. But first, people got to know you're there, which brings me back to the issue of we can't do this and take it to the next level without your support. So we're asking our listening audience to please log on to our website at positivechangepc.com. Once again, you can go to Positive Change, letter P as in Paul, C as in cat.com. Please click on our GoFundMe link, and you can read our HBCU radio, solar radio initiative. And I think we did an excellent job in explaining what we did and why we did it, and it's an impact. And that information is there, but we urgently, urgently need your support. And we need you to pass the word and to get people to listen to this show. Because as we say, we help and we know that every week we bring news that you can definitely use on this platform of Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. So it's not about just talking the talk. We got to walk the walk. And we're often out in the communities talking at meetings, providing information about the various issues affecting us economically in that area. And also, we have a very, very interesting article about Howard University Alternative Solar Farm Project, which we have just recently, 2 weeks ago, had Dr. Gary Harris, who is dean of the School of Graduate School at Howard University, talking about that white paper that he has prepared. There's also information about the Public Service Commission directs $500,000 on unclaimed funds to help low-income residents of the district. This money was turned over to the Washington Urban League, and this money was there to assist low-income residents of D.C. with their utility bills for this coming fall. You had two organizations that basically received this funding, which was the Washington Area Fuel Fund and the Greater Washington Urban League. And once again, we want to thank those who are able to join us on the airways of this show on a weekly basis. And please remember, we, as we say every week, try to bring you news that you can definitely use. And as we close another exciting edition of Solar Now in the Future, we want to thank those who joined us on this platform. solely now and the future, with its economic impact on Black America. And we hope that you, we say, we're able to get information that will help you and your family, and that's economically. And that is the bottom line, as we say all the time. It's not about what you say, but it's about what you do. And we try to get it done every week with this program here on the platform of Soul and Now and the Future, with its economic impact on Black America. And as we try to key up our closing intro music for our show on a weekly basis, is always a struggle here on this platform. But we know that with your assistance, we'll be able to get this done. So thank you once again for joining us on Soul and Now on Black America.
Life is a song worth singing. I got you. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.